Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment.
To help us think about that reading, I want us to play a game together. And you don't have to get up. I'm not going to pull you up to the front. Don't worry. But you're going to need to talk to people next to you. I know that can be hard sometimes. I'm seeing people's faces. Oh, I didn't expect to come somewhere and have to talk to people. That is really hard. But it's only you need to be in pairs or threes in your pew. You can do it that way. And we're going to play a game called Yes And. If you were ever a youth worker like me, you know what this game is. If you've been an actor or an actress, or have ever done improv, you know what this game is. If you've not, lots of places, I'll explain it to you. So, in your pairs, I'm going to tell you which one's going to start, and you're going to have a scenario. I'm going to give you that scenario. And the person, you're playing like a game of tennis with the other person, and the other person has to say yes and they have to make it as silly as possible. So your conversations will get sillier and sillier and sillier. So an example could be, I could say, you're going to start with, we're going to the supermarket. So what person one says we're going to the supermarket, person two says yes and we're going to buy an armadillo. Person goes back to person one, they say yes and that armadillo will be covered in chocolate. And you keep elevating. How silly can you get? That's the name of the game. Can you make it so silly that the other person cannot return the yes and? That's what we're going for. If you've got a young person or a child next to you, they should beat you. Because their imaginations are so much better than us, because we get closed off by being serious. We don't have to be serious all the time. This is a moment where we don't have to be serious. Okay, so look at the people next to you, think, oh, you're going to have to be the person directly next to you. You can be in a three, you can be in a two. The person with the longest hair is going to start, and your scenario is... So the person with the longest hair starts, and the scenario is, I came to church this morning, and then it's yes, the one with the most facial hair. If you're follically suppressed. So, you've got a little while time, go, you're starting with, I came to church this morning, and it's yes and, return it, get as silly as possible, come on. He got so into the game, he forgot that he was doing the sound. That sounded like you were having fun. It sounded like you were having fun.
Yes,
sir. Think about that as I explain this Bible passage to you. Think about that game as I explain this Bible passage. Because to be honest, when I read this Bible passage, Jesus doesn't come across well. Jesus doesn't come across well. He comes across a bit callous. And also, he's using a racial slur, which you might not pick up. Dogs in their culture is a slur for people who aren't of Jesus' culture. So, what is happening? This guy that, as a Christian, I believe, is God, who is supposed to be all-loving, all-knowing, all-good, doesn't come off well. Actually, to be honest, I wouldn't be happy to be there that day. And the disciples come off, as usual, as being a bit of idiots. But let's kind of look at this. And the way I want to do this is through a paradigm of a conversation I had with my uncle. So my uncle used to be in the army. He was my favourite of those because he used to live in Basildon next to Toys R Us. So if we went to my uncle's house, I would get to go to Toys R Us. And if you lived in South East London at the time, there was no Toys R Us in South East London. Oakham Road got it later on, but we didn't have a Toys R Us. But Basildon had a Toys R Us. We go, I got transformed one year, I was so happy. So this uncle, my Uncle Harry, is my favourite uncle. He moved back home many years ago. My parents are from the Seychelles in the Indian Ocean. And 4 years ago, I managed to raise enough money to take my 3 kids and my wife to go to the Seychelles, see my grandparents, see my family. I hadn't been for 20 years because I can't afford it. It's too expensive. And I was at a family party and my Uncle Harry was there. I was so excited to see him. I hadn't seen him since I was a kid. And I remembered that he used to live next to Toys R Us and that gave me that feeling of joy. I'd forgotten that Uncle Harry is one of those guys who's always rambling, who's always joking, but also always testing you. He's always testing you. But when I was a kid, he didn't do it with me. He just used to take me to Toys R Us. I used to love it. So I get to the party, Uncle Harry's standing in the middle of the party. I come to him, he knows that I'm training to be a priest. And he says, doesn't say hello, by the way. He just says, what do you want to do that for? Whoa! I've got my kids behind me, I'm going to see my uncle, I've been big in the mouth, I'm going to Toys R Us. First thing he says to me is, what do you want to do that for? I was shocked, I didn't know what to do. I wasn't used to his way of being at that moment. Everyone's been loving me because I'm trained to be a priest in my culture. That is the best thing you can do. All my aunties love me, everyone's, this is a priest, he's great, bless the food. That's what I thought he was going to ask me, come to me, bless the food, Chris. No. No, what happened? What do you want to do that for? Okay, because I felt God calling me, stumbling over my words. Every other syllable from my Uncle Harry's mouth was a test. He got me. I didn't know what to say, how to say it, when to say it. I was caught off guard. I felt like I was in a fight. I am desperately trying to find words to show that I'm now an adult as well. Because I'm with my uncle, the oldest in my family. As a big 45-year-old man, now I feel like I'm 12. And he's testing me, testing me, testing me. My daughter later on came to me and said, why was he so upset with you? Did you fall out with him? I said, no, that was him showing love. She was like, what? No. The reality was, by the end of the conversation with my Uncle Harry, something had happened. I'd managed to explain my why. I'd managed to explain my why. Why would I, a boy from Deptford, who wears Air Force Ones and likes grime music, become a priest in the Church of England? Why? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me most of the time. But I managed to tell my Uncle Harry the why, which is I felt pulled by God into my context, into my situation, into my place. I was born and raised here. And God said, come and minister here. That is your why. And I managed to tell him, he's like, good. Good. Then he gave me a beer, put his arm around me. No, that didn't happen. That's how I feel it should have happened. Should he give me a beer? Just give me a big hug and say yes. But no, he just was like, oh, walked off. As many of the men in my family know. This is what I think is happening in this gospel passage. We're so used to trying to be nice to each other. In our conversations, we don't want to offend. We don't have the context of this back and forth most of the time. That's why my daughter, not raised in my Creole context, didn't understand that this wasn't an interaction, it was a fight. She thought, wow, I'm surprised that didn't throw a punch. That definitely wouldn't, because Harry would have me. Even at 60-odd. But she's just not used to seeing that way of communicating. It's not always right, but in this circumstance it was him testing my why. Is he doing this because he wants to be praised by his aunties? Is this just to make his mum look good? Is this because he really believes in what he says? Now, I gave you that game. You went backwards and forwards. elevate them, the silliness. This is what's happening in this communication between a woman from a different culture and Jesus. They're going backwards and forwards. She holds her own. In fact, she corrects him. So much so that he says, "Okay, now you win. You have great faith. Your daughter is healed." So God is corrected by a woman, as always. And we see that the way in which their way of communicating in their culture becomes a way of seeing her way. She calls Jesus her Lord. She knows who he is. It isn't just because she knows who he is. And he finds out what her way is. And he says, "You have great faith." That's what I think is happening in that passage. And maybe we need to always think about what our way is. What is it we believe, and how is it that it comes to be in our actions and our reactions? You don't have to be like my Uncle Harry. Please be nice to people. But it's a good way of seeing how that scripture happens in a context that's different from us. So I offer that to you.